Between February and May 1955, a group secretly funded by the Central Intelligence Agency launched a secret weapon into communist territory. Gathering at launch sites in West Germany, operatives inflated 10-foot balloons, armed them with their payload, waited for favorable winds, and launched them into Poland. They then watched as the balloons were carried deep behind the Iron Curtain, where they would eventually disgorge their contents. These, though, were not explosive or incendiary weapons. They were books. At the height of the Cold War, the CIA made copies of George Orwell's Animal Farm rain down from the communist sky. The scheme was part of a larger effort to penetrate the wall of censorship the Soviet Union had erected around its Warsaw Pact allies. Western radio broadcasts were jammed, letters were censored, and only state-run newspapers were published. The CIA disguised its role in the campaign to get banned materials into these countries by secretly channeling funds through front organizations that produced the tens of millions of books, leaflets, pamphlets, posters, and the hundreds of thousands of balloons needed to fly them into enemy territory. In response, the authorities in Czechoslovakia, Hungary, and Poland warned its citizens that possession of this material was illegal and even sought to shoot down the balloons with fighter planes and anti-aircraft guns. Dropping Animal Farm into Poland proved challenging. It was one thing to send over hundreds of leaflets in a balloon, but another to send over large numbers of books. The Free Europe Press, one of the CIA's front organizations, produced a special compact 48-page edition of the novel, printed on lightweight paper stock, so that as many as 30 copies could be loaded onto a balloon at a time. From the vantage of the 21st century, when ISIS fighters in the Syrian desert are targeted by a Reaper drone operated from a trailer thousands of miles away in the Nevada desert, the idea of dropping books on the enemy by balloon may seem quaint, even absurd. Yet in the Cold War, both superpowers poured vast resources into overt and covert means to undermine the enemy with the printed word on a massive scale. How effective literature was in winning over hearts and minds is hard to measure, but what is indisputable is how seriously it was taken by both superpowers. Secretive agencies established propaganda networks to amplify the voices of those writers whose work found ideological favor, and both Western and communist secret services sought ways to censor, intimidate, or silence those writers whose work was critical of their countries. This book tells the story of the writers on both sides of the Iron Curtain who found themselves locked in this exhilarating, dangerous conflict, and how the literature they made took shape under this shadow. The Cold War may have been a conflict of ideas, but imposing those ideas on the enemy through military means was not an option. As Kenneth Osgood writes in Total Cold War, the existence of nuclear weapons meant that the Cold War, more than any other conflict in human history, was channeled into non-military modes of combat, particularly ideological and symbolic ones. Each side therefore used various forms of propaganda and disinformation as a way to undermine the way its enemy organized its own society. Some of this propaganda was crude and, as such, ineffective. But literature was another matter, for it had a more sophisticated power to persuade. In reading Animal Farm, with its allegory of a revolution gone awry, exploited by corrupt and self-serving leaders interested only in consolidating their own power, Polish citizens might begin to question the received truths of their rulers. That was why it was worth sending batches of the novel through the air into enemy territory. By the time the Cold War began in the late 1940s, the Soviet Union's leaders were already old hands at cultural warfare. In the aftermath of the revolution, they sought to use literature as a means of legitimating their power and as a tool by which to remake society.